It is unfortunate that only a comparatively few of these SE answers have been recorded, to be handed down to future generations. Throughout all these records there is a consistency in everything said, the same descriptions of Etheria, the same way of life reported, the same assertion that it is how we live that is important, and not what creeds we believe. This is so uniform, and yet so contrary to the orthodox religious teaching accepted by the majority of mankind, that its consistency cannot be the product of earth minds widely separated throughout the world. Moreover, what they tell us contradicts the materialistic orthodox teaching of death and the resurrection. In fact, the views they express so revolutionize orthodox religious thought throughout. 183. The world, that theologians and ecclesiastics have nothing better to put forward than that the devil is behind it all, for the purpose of creating more and more unbelievers in the generally accepted religion. After this digression, we shall now return to our conversations, and relate what was said to a hospital nurse by a doctor friend in Etheria. After telling the nurse that he had been with her at an operation that day at a certain hospital which she correctly named, he went on to say how much pleasure it gave him to help earth doctors and nurses to heal the sick and suffering. To this effort, he said, he gave much of his time and, after receiving the nurse's thanks, he replied to her, and then spoke to all present in the circle. "Mine is the pleasure, Miss Duff. It is so nice, friends, to know and realize when you come to this side of life, if you have not realized it previously, that you can still be in touch with what interested you in earth life, by getting into contact with, and speaking to, those whom you knew before, letting them know that life on earth is not the end of your journey. It is just the beginning of that perfect day which you find when you come to my side. May God bless, comfort, and cheer you in these troublous times. May He cheer those who weary and wait for loved ones they will never see again in the physical, many of them without your knowledge of the bright future awaiting them. It is up to you who know and understand, who have the light, to pass it on to others." An Etherian once spoke to a lady present. She asked who was speaking, and he replied, "You do not know me. I know your son, Mr. 184. Arthur Lang, very well, not in earth life, you know, but after coming over. I had been over for many years before Mr. Lang, but I got to know him here and I do like him very well. Can you tell us something about yourself?" she then asked, to which he replied, "I may stay and look on. I like to hear others speaking, those that are on my side, as well as those on your side. I love to hear your voices talking to each other. I was not an educated man in earth life, what you would call an educated man, but I have learned a great deal since coming over here. I hope you will understand if I put it in my own phraseology and say, there are many different spheres, many different stages of existence on the spirit side of life." On another occasion, someone on the other side showed the same interest in what was going on at the séance. "I am just a stranger. I saw the lights. They attracted me, and I came in to see if I could be of any little service to any one of you, dear friends. I would rejoice if my own dear ones knew that it was possible for me to contact them and speak to them, but they know nothing of this. I speak to them sometimes, but they do not hear me. How wonderful it is that you hear me. May God the Father lead you to the light that will keep the door still open for you to pursue this truth right along your way of life until the journey ends. Do your level best to keep a clean record and you will have a joyful entrance into spirit life when your time comes." After an interesting discourse, which has been recorded in a previous chapter, an Etherian finished. 185. His conversation with a gentleman present with these words. "And now, my friend, I must go. I have been trying to explain in my humble way what I felt in my own soul in the spirit side of life, and the progress from one stage to another. It is not all known in a day. It is a slow process, and those of us who work near the earth plane, I do not know just how to put it to you, I do not mean to say that we deteriorate in any way, but we have rather given up of our own accord our advancement for a little while, that we may help our weaker brothers, as we ourselves have been helped in the past. We do not stay near the earth plane, but we come and work in it. I think that none of you present would regret a little time given to help a backward brother or sister into a higher level of life. I must go. I am called now by an emissary of one of the Shining Ones, into a higher level of life. A regular helper on the other side, who spoke clearly and often, sometimes at great length, made the following observations in the course of a long talk. I would like to make a pathway clear for you ladies and gentlemen, to tread the devious paths of life, which just now is a very difficult matter. It comes hard to the human heart. I am speaking more like one of yourselves today. I am trying hard to enter into your sorrows and your joys, and to assist the friends you love who may be passing just a little ahead of you on the road of life. I try to bear you up in the arms of love, to bear you up beyond the shadow to the substance where I live, and where. 186. Someday you will be co-partners in the labor of love. At another time a red Indian, who often came to help newcomers to speak, expressed the same sentiments in these words. I have tried both in earth life and spirit life to bring joy and cheer to both sides. You know what I mean, to comfort and soothe the sorrowful ones. The blessing of the Indian chief goes with you all. It was natural that those whose minds retain memories of their earth life, and who had friends still on earth, would be the ones who took the most trouble to come and speak to us. They live on the plains within closest touch of the earth. Nevertheless, things take place on earth which escape their notice, as happened with this lady when her daughter on earth asked her if she had met a friend recently passed over. Oh, darling, I did not know he was here. Do take my love to them. Be sure and say it came from this side. It has just been veiled from me for a little while, but I will try and get in touch with him now that I know. On another occasion their limitations were expressed in these words. Anything done by friends in the earth life who have erred, if it would hurt those who love them who have gone before, a veil is thrown across, that they do not know about it. If it is conducive to their happiness this veil will be thrown, and they will not be permitted in the surroundings if it is going to make them sad and hamper their progress on this side of life. 187. Another Aetherian who was standing by took up the theme in these words. Had I lived a better life in the material I would not have been so sad when I first came over here. That was a beautiful illustration of a veil being drawn so that dear ones on this side do not always know what is going on among their friends on earth. It is only the grosser things that are hidden from them. I hope you will understand. I am a very plain fellow and I am only putting my own thoughts through, which I have gathered from experience, and which I know to a great extent to be true on this side. With a slight pause he continued his talk. We only know to a limited extent what is going on the earth plane. Those in the high planes, the ministering angels and the shining ones, do, however, know all, and shade certain things off that would spoil the happiness of those on this side. Certainly this veiling off helps you in the earth life, in your case with regard to the future. If you had known beforehand the trials you would have to come through, Second World War, you would not have had the strength to go on. It is better that a veil should also be drawn on the material side of life. Place, therefore, your trust in God, and do the right. Another slight pause was noticed, and then he continued, every word said being clearly delivered without the least hesitation. With regard to what was said about certain things being veiled off on this side, you might have a gentle spirit on this side of life. I am speaking to you all in general, someone you loved very much. 188. And who had always led a very sheltered life. Well, you would not like her progress here to be barred by any mistakes you made. Such as these do not know details of any wrongdoings or sorrow. They, however, sense immediately when anything goes wrong with you, and will help you all they can with their thoughts of love and their prayers, for we remember here those we love, just as you do. We know instinctively when you are in a tight corner, even if we do not know details, and then you are influenced by our prayers for you. A lady present was once asked by a friend on the other side to convey his affection to his wife on earth. Addressing the lady by her pet name, he said, "Tell Annie I love her still. My passing has not broken the link between us. Oh, my dear, oh, it is wonderful." It is James speaking. "It is wonderful that we can come in here, and that I have managed. I was just afraid that I would not be able to make myself heard, and I have stood beside you for that purpose. I am well, and oh, so happy, though, of course, I have my cravings for some I have left behind. You know what I mean, but I am working all I can to let those I have left have peace and happiness. It is so difficult, because of the war." An aunt of a lady present once came back and was delighted that she was able to touch her niece. "It is a nice feeling to know that I can touch you and that you know I am here. Think of me sometimes, and I will do the best I can for you, and I will look after the boys." She stated correctly that she had died a year and a few days before her niece was born. Then followed 189. A talk between them about two relations still on earth. The niece then felt a hand touching her, the aunt's concluding words being, "This is just the touch of a vanished hand, a hand you never knew in earth life touches you now." The same sitter on a previous occasion was told this by her husband's grandfather. Replying to a remark she made, he continued, "Yes, and I am so glad to have got this first word with you. I shall come again, God willing. Peace be with you all, and all those who have not got the great privilege of the knowledge you have. Let the whispering words of truth penetrate their minds, and say, we are not dead, we are alive. Adieu." On another occasion, the mother of a lady present, who had passed on when her daughter was a small child, said to her daughter, "Mother never forgets. I watched you while you grew up, studied your little ways. I am your mother. I have opened my arms and I hold you. God bless you, darling. What I can do for you, I will. All will be done for you to the very utmost. I was present at one or two tragic episodes in your life and I held on to you, especially at one time when you were very low down." When a sitter once remarked how wonderful it was, and how happy the sitters should be to have their friends from the other world coming to speak to them, someone from that world spoke these words, "When we love someone then nothing is a trouble, nothing is too much and no work too tedious to bring joy to those we love. This, however, is not." 190. Tedious work, but a great joy to us, getting these little messages through to you. How close the thought link is between the people of the two worlds was once emphasized during a talk between a gentleman present and a friend on the other side. "There is one thing I can tell you if you think fondly of someone you loved in the earth life who has gone from you, thought carries here and we get it immediately." Then the Aetherian made an interesting remark in reply to a question. "Forgetting things you have been told, or taught, is purely a physical thing. You do not forget anything you are taught on the spirit side of life. That love binds the people of the two worlds together is emphasized by the remark made to us all by the grandfather in Aetheria of a lady present. I would like just to say to you all, you are very dear to me and dear to others in the spirit side of life, because you help us, when we come to the borderline, to get into touch with those whom we love. Without your help that we, small, door would remain secret, shut, and unopened. You ken what I mean. It is the blending of the thoughts, the sympathy received, that lifts the latch and enables us to get through to you and let you know that we still live, still love you. God bless you." On another occasion when this subject was mentioned, we were told to remember that love is something which is branded on the heart of humanity and can never be eradicated. It lives through all eternity. It never dies. The love which is in the heart for each other grows brighter all the time. 191. This theme was touched on at another séance when a lady present was speaking to her mother in Etheria. "Mother," she said, "will you give my love, dear, to the one who tried to take your place?" Her mother replied, "I will do so. It is easy to pass on love. There is no thought of jealousy now. It is only love we can give. We could not convey anything other than love. There could be no message conveyed to anyone on this side if it was not a message of love. God bless you." Mr. Edward Clodd, who exposed the superstition in organized Orthodox religion, wrote in 1917 that out of the enormous mass of communications purporting to come from discarnate spirits, not an ennobling or high-toned message can be extracted. All is nauseating, frivolous, mischievous, spurious drivel. He was an agnostic, being one of the leaders of materialistic thought in the early part of the 20th century, and I do not doubt that this is what he sincerely believed, because he was ignorant of the truth. This hatred and ignorance of everything to do with spiritualism was shared by the vast majority of his contemporaries, and still is, but to a lesser degree, to this day. Nevertheless, a considerable amount of literature on the beliefs of spiritualists was available in his day, to anyone who cared to study it, and it has grown enormously since then. Someday the barrier of prejudice and ignorance will be swept away, and the monotonous clamor of abuse which spiritualism has 192 received over the past 100 years from Christians and materialists alike will cease. If everyone possessed psychic gifts, or if everyone had one psychic experience, or more than one, the hard crust of materialism and antagonism would dissolve. The spiritualist outlook on life, death, and the afterlife would take their place. A new, broader, and more complete conception of the meaning of existence would follow, and much present-day sorrow, unhappiness and frustration would cease. In this world, as in the next, there are planes of thought, and those less mentally developed cannot grasp what those with greater knowledge are able to accept. Everything in life is a question of mental development. There have been in the past the more enlightened who have risen mentally above their fellow men and women, and pierced to a greater or lesser extent the veil which divides the visible from the invisible world. Some have been born with this greater insight, some have been fortunate to have had experiences denied to others, and some people have learned from what the few have had to tell them. However, the enlightenment of the masses will only come as mediumship and learning increase, but, with comparatively few mediums in our midst, progress in the knowledge of what is true can only come slowly. Meanwhile, let those who read this book try to grasp the wonder of it all, and realize how this knowledge revolutionizes much of what we were taught to believe to be true. The revolution in thought it brings about is as tremendous as was the complete change, the reversal of outlook, which took place in the 16th and 17th centuries of our era when, in 1543, 193, Copernicus, and then Galileo about 100 years later, with the aid of the newly discovered telescope, revealed the heavens to be something vastly different from what they appeared to be by our ordinary vision. It took many years even for the intelligent in those days to have an idea of the meaning of it all, and even now our mysterious universe is not within the grasp of human intelligence. The medium which caused this revolution in thought was the telescope, and the medium which is causing the change in our religious outlook is the human being, endowed by nature with a body capable of supplying invisible beings with what they need, to enable them to communicate with us and tell us who they are, and how and where they live. What a revelation it is, but let me give you the words of an Etherian, who once entered into a conversation we were having with a friend on the other side who had remarked about Mr. Sloane having opened a door for them to get through to us. This is what he said. "It is a great gift, Mr. Cameron, to be able to open the door, and enable the friends who are around you to exchange thoughts and opinions which may be beneficial to you and to your further progress in life. Whenever you put out a thought, we try to help you in every way we can. You are all friends whom I have met here from time to time, and I have met a goodly number of people of different outlooks on life, but they are all very willing to give an open ear to anything we may say to them, and what we tell seems to be acceptable. We can assure you it is the truth. 194. We are only telling you of our own experiences, which we have had since coming to spirit life, and which may help you when the time comes for you to make the crossing to this side of life. That is one thing that makes me very happy, the thought that those on earth life are still able to come and talk to us, and enable us to help you all in the difficult way of life, to help to carry the burden which is near to your hearts and which you may not care to tell to anyone. This opening up of communication between the two worlds is as much an interest and a delight to them as it is to us on earth. A lady present on one occasion was told this by her father in the other world. It is the thought of that great truth, and the knowledge that you have a perfect understanding of the fact that we still live and love, that helps us to wait with patience for those we love, to join us on this side. We are simply waiting for the day, not longing for it, because to long for that time might shorten the earth life of those we love and long for, but waiting God's good time until the day dawns and the shadows flee away, and we all meet and clasp hands again. When labor is finished, Jordan passed, and life on earth is ended, there is summer and sunshine and a home of rest at last. Such words must be a comfort and encouragement to many, but only the few who attend seances with good mediums can have the satisfaction a speaker from Etheria believed was possessed by everyone. He was a Scottish Highlander on earth, and in some of their homes in the Highlands the so-called dead and living mingle in a way little realized by them more. 195. Materialistic Lowlanders. The Celtic Highlanders, in remote places, are often highly developed psychically, and this is what he said. It is not my will that you should not understand it, or not my desire that I should cause you annoyance. I just want to let you know, as I am positive that all of you on earth know already, that those of your loved ones who have gone before are often very near you, and, although you cannot see them, you sense the feeling of their presence, the touch of the hand, the sound of the voice, the loving care of the mother, and the kind thought of the father. God bless you, friends. The touch of the vanished hand is often felt by sitters, as was the case when on one occasion a lady present told us she was being touched on her hands and face. Then we heard, "It is mother touching you, and how are you keeping, my dear? I hope you did not hurt yourself much." She was recovering from a bad fall. "Do you not see father standing beside you? He is standing just behind you, and I am standing at your left side. I just wish I could throw my arms around you and embrace you properly. It seems a long time now, not so very long, you know, but it seems a long time to me. I am not so very long over, but still I am longing to see my daughter." On one occasion when the father in Etheria of a lady present was recognized by his daughter, his pleasure was obvious. "Thank you for recognizing me, my beloved daughter. Tell Jim I send him my love, and the whole lot of them. I do not like to disturb them." 196. You know, in their thoughts. It is the truth, and it is a truth that I did not understand very much about myself, and which came as a heavenly revelation to me, when I found that I could come back and speak to you again. I shall never, never leave you until the shadows flee away and the sun rises, and we meet again in the more perfect life and the more perfect world. Another from Etheria, who spoke in a strong manly voice, once expressed similar sentiments and seemed pleased that the sitters heard what he had to say. "I do not feel that I am adequately adapted to speak to you, ladies and gentlemen, in a way that you ought to be spoken to. It has been a joy and a great upliftment to me today that I have been a recipient of the joys and pleasures which you have received in this little meeting tonight. I have also been uplifted, and my soul has been refreshed and strengthened in the labor of the work which lies before me, by being in your presence today. As one who has traversed the earth plane long before your time and who has been traversing the planes and spaces for many years, as you count time, I have been in touch time and again with your surroundings, but I have never been able to articulate or speak to you until today. Today I feel uplifted and have joy in the thought that I have got a contact, and I pray that the Great Spirit of Love will allow me to keep in touch with you, to do you some little good from time to time. God bless you all. In the pause that followed, we asked him to give us his name, and this is what he said. 197. I would not be known to any of you. I am too ancient. By that I mean, it is long as time is counted on the earth plane, since I walked there. I did not speak your language, and I did not know your country. I know your language now because I have been deputed to work in your surroundings, and recently have been directed to this gathering to look after you. Do your best to live your earth life as it was intended you should, and a wonderful joy waits you. There is nothing in God's universe that is not used. He is too wise to have anything that is not necessary. There is a use for everything and a purpose for everyone that comes to earth life. I will keep in touch with you, and I will come whenever I see that I can be of any service to you and do a little to help. It is always so pleasant and so pleasing for me to give it to you. Adieu. This desire to help us was also voiced by another male Etherian in these words. I should be pleased to help you at any time, any one of you, and, if I cannot answer the questions, I can take them to someone who can illustrate and answer them for you, as far as it is in accordance with the divine will. I am not related to any of you in any earth connection, but you are my brothers and sisters, and I am out to help you in any way I can. I do not perhaps know much, but I have gleaned a little knowledge of the theme of the everlasting progress of the human soul towards the eternal. You understand what I mean. At another seance, a gentleman present remarked that to him the knowledge of human destiny was the greatest interest in life. To hear this reply. 198. I understand what you mean, brother. You just feel when here that you are near those you have loved very much in earth life. You feel you can practically be at one with them. Then followed a long, intimate talk between him and his wife in Etheria, which ended with these parting words. It is a beautiful thought to know that death does not divide us. Just think of the time, dear, when all your efforts and your worries cease, and I and all your friends here welcome you in God's beautiful garden of peace. Mrs. Sloan, the wife of the medium, passed on in 1940. When on earth, she was a regular sitter at these seances, and after her passing she soon came back to become a frequent communicator. She was a woman of a sweet and lovable nature, and this can be realized from the things she said from her new home in Etheria. Mr. Sloan was never paid for the sittings he gave, and considered his part in them as a duty to his friends, but, as he grew older and more feeble, they were certainly attacks on his failing strength. I am sure he would have ceased giving them in his old age but for one thing. Mrs. Sloan, or Mammy as she was called by some, invariably came back to talk to him and her friends on earth. This fact made life worth living for him, and here are some extracts of what she said on one occasion. First of all, she sang a favorite hymn, every word distinct, and led the sitters in the circle, who had only a hazy idea of the words. Then she said, "This is Mammy speaking to you. How beautiful." 199. It is just to be in the little circle once again. I can still enjoy it as I did in the days gone by when I met you at these little meetings from time to time. God bless you, Mrs. Bowes, and those you love. May God support them in the strenuous work and strenuous ways of life just now, and O Father, if it be thy will, bring this fighting to an end and bring the loved ones home again. Bring harmony and peace once more to this troubled world. This is Mammy's prayer to the great Father God. May he bless your boys, Mrs. Bowes, and may he keep them safe, and may peace and prosperity and the love of God be with you at all times. You were always such a good friend of Daddy and mine, and God bless you, Chrissy, my dear. You were always so kind and good to me, and to my dear old man. I wish I could do something to repay you for all your goodness. I thank you one and all for coming here, and standing by my dear old man. He is not alone. I tell him often when I am talking to him that he will never be alone while Nana, Mrs. Sloane's name, is with him. I think, Mr. Cameron, that most of us have one or two that are all the world to us.